Washington's objections notwithstanding, the International Criminal Court officially opened for business today. Joining us now is John Cerrone, who is the executive director of the War Crimes Research Office at American University's Washington College of Law. John Cerrone, is it clear, as this International Criminal Court starts up, what the law is by which people will be judged?
The ICC statute, the statute of the International Criminal Court, contains basically the most comprehensive code of international criminal law that we've seen so far. It's drawn largely on the jurisprudence of prior international criminal tribunals, like the Nuremberg Tribunal, the ICTY, that is the Yugoslav Tribunal, and the ICTR, the Rwanda Tribunal. In addition, we now have these so-called hybrid tribunals, like the Special Court for Sierra Leone and the internationalized judicial panels in East Timor and in Kosovo. But so the law is in a very dynamic phase. It's still developing, but the core of it has been codified in this statute.
It's a work in progress, you're saying.
Exactly. It is still developing as we speak.
If I stood accused of war crimes and I was taken before the International Criminal Court, would I have the right to a jury trial?
No.
Would I have some kind of protection against self-incrimination or unlawful search and seizure as I recognize it in U.S. criminal law?
The protections that are afforded in these international criminal tribunals are taken largely from international human rights treaties. And they also, the courts, in interpreting these human rights provisions, these fair trial and due process protections, they draw upon the practice of member states of the United Nations. And they generally take the best practices from countries all around the world.
If the U.S., though, actually were a signatory, and if the U.S. Took part and accepted the jurisdiction of the court, would a defendant have a better shot in an American court than in the International Criminal Court?
By and large, they would have as good a shot before the ICC. There are certain peculiar features of American criminal law. For example, the exclusionary rule, the idea that if an individual's rights were violated in securing the evidence, then that evidence could not be used in support of a conviction of that person, has not been as well established on the international level. So the court would have to decide which way that issue would turn out.
In a lot of European jurisprudence, there are crimes of exhorting people to race hatred, for example, that are crimes, and if linked to genocide, certainly would be criminal acts. In the U.S., many of those acts are actually protected by the First Amendment, as I
Correct.
Understand it. Where does the First Amendment come out in all of this? Not expressed in the International Criminal Court?
Sure. The First Amendment, per se, is of course not a source of law for international bodies. But we do have the freedom of expression under, for example, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. However, it is true that the freedom of expression is not protected under international law to the same extent to which it's protected under U.S. domestic law, under the U.S. Constitution. At the same time, we've seen, though, that the prohibition on incitement to genocide is limited to a very narrow range of cases. It's where the individual is actually directly inciting people to go out and destroy a group. And clearly that's not speech that would be protected even under the American constitutional law.
Do you think that as people in The Hague are working on the International Criminal Court, that they're looking over at, say, the Milosevic trial, or for that matter, looking to Arusha, Tanzania, and the tribunals for Rwanda, and saying, yes, that's it, we have to expand upon that? Or do you think they're saying the endless Milosevic trial, in which he gives speeches about Yugoslavia, and the Rwanda trials, in which hardly anyone ever seems to go on trial, mm-hmm. are terrible models for us to proceed upon?
Well, first of all, I think they will acknowledge that the ICTY, the Yugoslav Tribunal, and the Rwanda Tribunal were both sort of first cracks. And hopefully they'll be using the ICTY and ICTR jurisprudence very judiciously, that they will be taking a skeptical look at it, a very critical look at the jurisprudence, borrowing from, separating the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, and using them to establish lessons learned.
Mr. Cerrone, thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're quite welcome.
John Cerrone of the American University's Washington College of Law in Washington, D.C., is executive director there of the War Crimes Research Office.